Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Silma and I am an addict. Thanks to be here tonight. And it's very exciting to be here. Very, very exciting. And I am very grateful. To tell you, everybody, the truth, this is it's a dream come true. What I'm doing here right now is a dream come true. When I come to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I start reading the basic text. And the basic text told me that I can dream big again. I can big dream. And my dream come true, through Narcotics Anonymous. And that time, I said I wanted to be a speaker on a big convention someday. And here I am. Here I am. It's just exactly like recovery. It's slowly, one day at a time. So my clean time, my clean date is May the 24th, 2011. So this, how long it took for me to be here. But it's all good. Patience, right? Okay. I love Narcotics Anonymous. It's because Narcotics Anonymous is this that I'm here today, that I am alive. I'm from Brazil. I was born on a very poor family. And my father passed away. My baby sister was not even born. So my mother ended up being by herself and raised four girls. And after my father passed away, she moved to a village. I was born in the jungle of Brazil, okay? And she moved to a village, and the way she find a way to support us is just going to the rich people and wash clothes by hands. And I remember very well that she come home, her hands is all to be in the water all day washing clothes. And it was very difficult, and sometimes she'll bring old breads, old bakery, because we didn't have nothing to eat. We warm up water, put some sugar, and get the hard bread or whatever, and dip over there to make soft for us to be able to eat. And sometimes it was our lunch or our dinner, whatever. Whatever. And that's what we had for as a food sometimes. And growing up like that, I always thought that have to be a different life than that. It's impossible to live like that. And growing up like that, you know. And I was 8 years old. She took me to one of the ladies that she washed clothes for me to work there. This lady had two little boys, and just to play with the kids. And don't need to pay me nothing, it's just for food and clothes. And I started this place, lived there. And I used to cry a lot, missing my mother, but I live in on that house. And there I stayed for a couple years or more than that. And from that place where I went across the street and learned my ABCs, I was 12. And seeing the life of the other people, more and more the idea that we'll have a better life than that. But where, how I can find that life? Because I saw TV, they had a car, and we didn't have nothing there. We didn't even have food. I've been working for free for food. Yeah, and I could accept that. But anyway, and I grew up like that, and 15 years old, I was working already for money and helping my mother. My mother got a stroke and become paralyzed, and it was very hard to support, and that time I support her a lot, and my baby sister. And at 18 years old, I decided to go to São Paulo. My village was a small town, and I decided to go to São Paulo for opportunity. São Paulo, that time, it was over 20 million people, and I lived from 600 people little town. And what do I want to do there? I have no education. I have no graduate from fourth grade. And I was going to be a maid, living maid. That's all I knew. I know how to do. And I did. I'm proud of myself and work, because my mother says to me, you work hard, be honest, don't steal, don't lie, you'll be okay on your life. And this is all she could taught us, honesty. And this was a good thing, because become my the part of my life, and principles, morals, I got from her. And life went on, and I just changed jobs. I went to school. I become a waitress. I become restaurant owner. At the end, before I come to United States, I was already a restaurant owner in Sao Paulo, and very popular and famous with my food and the cold beer, the acoustic guitar, entertaining people. It was nice. And 1985, I met a man from Oklahoma City walking to my restaurant to look for lunch. And I assisted him, and I was his waiter, and I didn't speak English, and he didn't speak Portuguese. We have the dictionary. Our communication was through the book. And we started to date. He was a single man who was there as a freelance journalist. And we started to date, and 2 years later, he had to come back. And I didn't want to come back. I have no idea to come to United States ever. My dream was to go to Europe, to Italy, to any other place, but not the United States. And it took me a year and a half. We keep in touch, and he insists, took me a year and a half to decide to come. And I come to marry this man. And it was fun for a while. Come here without speak English. And 15 days later, after my $1,000, because that time the requirement was $1,000 to get into this country as a visitor. So he had sent me this $1,000 because I didn't have $1,000. And so when in 15 days, he blew that $1,000. Show me around, show me off, go to restaurants, go to bars, and this and that, live music, boom, boom. Well, 15 days later, I start to go hungry. He let me go hungry. And things does not look good here. And I asked him to give me a contact of a Brazilian lady that was here, and she helped me to find a job. So I have to find a job without speaking English. But my God, that time, I always believe in God, that I find a job to take care of a little girl, 6 months old, after they had interviewed 27 ladies, and I got selected. I was the nanny for this lady, this little baby. And don't English necessary, because they used to live in Mexico. Our communication was Spanish, because I also speak Spanish. My original language is Portuguese, but I speak Spanish too. So I stayed there 2.5 years. When I left, the little girl was to speak 3 languages, Portuguese, Spanish, and English. Special thing, right? So, and then I start my business here. And learning English here, there, I put myself at the TCC to take some ESL classes and get some confidence on life, on myself. And I start to clean homes, my own business. And very short, I was busy. I could not take nobody else. My excellent performance. Thanks that I still have that. Clean is my passion until today. And anyway, I start my business, qualified to buy a house that time. 2002, I have qualified to buy a $100,000 home. And I bought a home. I already had bought a home in São Paulo for my sister and my kids, because I have two kids that I left there with her. And I have cars paid for. I was very happy and successful financially. And not to mention the back, way back, I divorced that husband that let me go hungry because I got tired to support him after at all. And he had the disease of addiction. For me at that time, I didn't know what disease of addiction is. He had alcohol problem. In my country, it's very normal people to drink. Brazilian people, they celebrate anything with beer. They drink. And they drink, they get drunk, they go to sleep, pass out. Not a big deal, right? Get up and go to work next day. And here with my husband, it was different. It's just like when I got the job, start to work as a nanny, make that money, he shut off the computer, never turned on again. I support him for over 3 years. But I wanted to stay here. I wanted to be, to have the what was necessary for me to be here. I already had married him, and I need the permission to work. I need the green card. I need all this, you know, you all know about the foreigners on this country. And I could divorce him after 3 years. Yeah, I got a lawyer, divorce him. You don't have to support him anymore. And that the way it went. And so my husband, being alcoholic, and I didn't know about it, it was tough. And doing all the things that I want to do, ambitious and work hard, I just have everything I want here. I have nobody else to help in Brazil because they are okay. They have their home, they have cars, my kids at school, everything supported by me, right? And got a point in my life that I just, I adopt a nephew also. After I become a citizen, I adopt a nephew that want to come here and live here. And the only way he stay is through adoption. And I had become a citizen that year. So I adopt him. He went to Edson High School, went to John Brown University, half academic, half soccer. And today he lives in Dallas with a beautiful family, two sons and wife, beautifully. And that was another thing that I did here. And one point in my life, I felt I'm not doing anything. What can I do now? People saying, hey, you have the America dream. You bought a house. Well, I cannot dream anymore then. Well, you know, America dream is to buy a home. I have a home. Can I dream anymore? Can I? So I just stop and think about it. And I decide, Silma needs to have some fun. It's enough to work. It's a lot of work, a lot of things. And have some fun. Slow down. And I was introduced to drugs. I didn't know what drugs do to you. I just did one time, second time, third time. Oh, that's good. Excellent, right? I felt awesome. Don't worry about people anymore. It's all about me, right? Family, forget it. Things got very, very, got worse. Took a while also. It's just like the book says, the way it is, really, is slowly, slowly we go down to the bottom. And I stayed long time on one substance. I was still productive, functional. And then I changed to another substance, and then things went way down, 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 down. And I lost my job, I lost my house, I lost everything. I tried to quit, I couldn't quit. I got to the point that I thought to myself, well, let it be, who cares? I can't stop. That's fine, just accept it and go for it. I'll die on this. This is the way I like to do the drugs. I was all took over. The drug had took over everything on me. And since I didn't have any money, didn't have nothing, I have no ways and means to get more, I decided to sell it. I'm gonna learn how to sell drug then. Become a drug dealer, hey, yeah, yeah. That'll be fun, right? I don't depend on nobody else. I'll do when I want and whatever. And that went good until you start to get in trouble with the law, right? That is the problem. It's good until you don't get in trouble with the law. 1, 2, 3, never get off of probation. 2002 till 2015, never got off of probation. One after another. But in 2008, I got the case, big case on trafficking, and that was still not my last one. 2009, I got another one. You know, it still work on the first one, but I got another in 2009 from another county. And so when I got that second on Rogers County, I thought, oh my gosh, now I go to prison now. Because over here in Tulsa, I already had to spend big money not to go into prison, right? And that took 2 years, my course took 2 years here, and I still not stopping using, Well, for making the story short, the judge gave me option. You go to long-term treatment or you go to prison 25 years. Well, I don't want to go to prison, right? I go to treatment. But not even thinking that to find a way to stop. Because at that point, I don't know how to stop. I thought I will die without dope. My life was involved on the dope. It took over my soul, everything. We all know, right? But anyway, I went to, took me 2 months after the court order, took me 2 months to find a job, a bed. I went to the 12 and 12. And I didn't want to stop dope, man. I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to go to prison either. So I go to treatment and think, when I get off, I'll do the same. What else can I do? I can't live without. So in a treatment center and a mandatory meeting, 2 weeks there, and H&I mandatory, just sit there and just listen to the people and just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. People saying they just stop using, find a new way to live, and they are happy. Got kids back, got husband, got job back, went back to the school, all this kind of thing. And I thought, these people, because they are not addicts like I am, they didn't like dope the way I like it. You know? Yeah, they don't like the way I like it. Couldn't believe that. But after 2 weeks, I believe the abstinence, the clarity come in my mind. And I heard the message of someone, and that woke me up like a light bulb. I remember that night, I went to my room, I cried. And that point, 3 weeks, I was supposed to decide if I go to halfway or if I leave, and I want to leave. I don't want to halfway, I want to go back to my dope, you know, my power, my everything. I don't want to stay. So after this, the H&I message, I cry. I realized that the clarity was so vivid in my head that I remember everything that I had done. The shame, the guilt, the remorse, the everything. There are nights that I could not sleep, crying and crying and crying, thinking about the things that I had done. And I decided to continue the treatment. And Narcotics Anonymous, H&I of Narcotics Anonymous told me how to stop using and how to stay clean with the five suggestions. And I thought that was like impossible. The five suggestions, we all know, go to meeting, read the literature, work the step with the sponsor, pray, meditate, and don't pick up no matter what. And I did so. It's impossible. But I have that hope. I have that hope. And 45 days later, being on treatment, I decided to go to my first NA meeting. And I went to my first NA meeting. And I remember very well that time of, have a member, one of the creator of NA Rising, his name is Lawrence Brown. He would come with his big van, 6 in the morning at the treatment center and pick up us, pick it up, the girls and guys who wants to go to the meeting. That's where I become a member of Narcotics Anonymous to NA Rising Home. That is still till today my home group. And with that group, I met so many people, and they told me how not to use. And I'm still doing everything to keep my recovery on track, because I don't want to go back there. I don't have to go back there, because Narcotics Anonymous told me that, and we are together. We are addicts to help each other. We don't have to go back there. Never again, right? And we have some spiritual principles. The process, the program is a process of the spiritual principles that we learn to apply them on our daily lives, right? I was taught that, first of all, I have to practice acceptance. Acceptance to see my reality. Because if I don't see my reality, I cannot change. And the program to recover require change. I need to have the courage to change. I need to have open mind to listen, to learn. And the willingness, right? The willingness to do the things, the willingness to work the step. If we want to recover, we need to work the steps. Because the steps is the principles, where the principles are, that we learn to use them as the tool that we have not to let us to go back there. And I think Narcotics Anonymous is the most beautiful fellowship. And I've been learning for 14 years, 15 years. And I wrote some stuff today, but when we get here, I can't read what I wrote. Even the book and the meeting, when I open the book and read and want to share a topic, forget it. Can't do it. But I wrote something here that they also told me to keep coming back. This keep coming back to me is so important, because when I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I was coming to there, no. I don't know what Narcotics Anonymous was. I didn't know that I was an addict, that I am an addict. Narcotics Anonymous told me that. That I don't have problem. I'm a normal person, but I do have a disease of addiction. My dilemma is not a moral dilemma. It's the disease of addiction, right? Narcotics Anonymous told me that. And for me to learn how to live with this disease, because we have no cure, I have to apply the principles in my life. And we have the, for any area of our lives, the principles work, right? It's amazing when you just work the steps. Each spiritual principle, each step is for a reason. I love Narcotics Anonymous. And also, I was told that we have to change when we get here. We have to change everything. And that was hard to change, because like I said a while ago, the change for what I knew, it was drugs, and come to Narcotics Anonymous to a no to recover, we learned that. Now, when we are on that other world there, the addiction, active addiction, we are not bad people. We develop skills, bad habits that we live on to survive. My gosh, how smart we are when we develop skills to survive that world. Because look at us over here. Look at the miracle. The miracle of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, the miracle of the open-mindedness, the miracle of the acceptance, the miracle of all the principles, the courage. I love the courage. The perseverance, because to persevere is where, persevering is where got us right here, all of us. Courage and perseverance. And I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to finish with this here. That I think is the beautiful, beautiful thing. When they say for us to keep coming back, we keep coming back. And I tell this, keep coming back. When we pray in circle, I always say a prayer for these two suffering addicts inside and outside rooms. Because we see addicts suffering outside the rooms. It's a bunch there. But when we see an addict suffering inside the room, it's so painful. Painful. And I pray for those. And I ask my higher power sometimes to keep my heart broken, because to remind me that everything that I do, every bit of it, is for love, gratitude. Gratitude for who I am today. Gratitude for Narcotics Anonymous. Great gratitude for all of you, and love that band us together. Because this is love. Love for the fellowship, love for ourselves, and love for to be alive. Love to be on a journey to freedom. This is where we are, right? Living the journey to freedom. It's the most beautiful thing. And it's over, right? And she showed me 5 minutes while ago. I think that 5 minutes is about to, it's over. But it's a different thing. Stand up here and talk to other addicts. And so many people, so many old timers that taught me, that paved my foundation for me to walk in. Thank you. Thank you that you pray for me to come in. Thank you. And I love you all. Thanks to let me share.
Thank you.